May the dear Lord help me to say just a few things from the first book of Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 12. First book of Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." First book of Samuel, chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Then Samuel took a stone. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hear ye that are... You think of it, friends. Hear ye that are near. Ye that are far. What I have done. And ye that are near acknowledge what... Oh, friends. If we could just get a little glimpse of why we've come tonight. Acknowledging God. You know, it's not just to gather together, is it? It's to acknowledge God in our lives. To acknowledge him every day. You know, we come so short, don't we? Have you acknowledged him today? You're out of hell? No. No. Have you acknowledged him that he hasn't dealt with you after your sins deserve? But the poor heart keeps expecting. Seems one-sided, doesn't it? Seems one-sided in our lives, friends. All us. Samuel took a stone. Well, the people here, they cried to Samuel and they said, they begged of him, "Don't stop crying to the Lord for us. Don't cease to stop crying for us." And he didn't, did he? We see the beautiful result of that word, pray without ceasing. Oh, how wonderful that the Lord has told us, pray without ceasing. Oh, they needed it, this people. They needed the answer, friends. Oh, when we come into those places where we need an answer, you'll pray then, I will, won't we? Well, the first thing dear Samuel took was a lamb. I like that. They always went back to the lamb, friends. They always went back to that one sacrifice for sins forever. I believe our country's left it. Do you find your own heart leaving it as well? The lamb. What's it mean to you and me? The lamb. It meant everything to them. Everything, friends. Absolutely everything. Samuel took a lamb and he offered it. Wonderful thing that the lamb's been provided to be offered. This is just as we start, friends. He took something. The first thing he took was that precious lamb. Was it for you? Was it for me? I know you hear it all the time, but it's the personal experience of it, friends. Was it really for me? There are those that have been taken from this place since last time we stood here. The lamb's got to be uppermost in their lives. Uppermost. Well, there were many things that the people took. Oh, it gives us such an indication, friends, of whether we're taking something right or wrong. The people of Korah took censers. They took the fire in it. It was the wrong fire. What happened? The earth swallowed them up. dear Moses. Oh, dear Moses, friends, he took that, the rod of God everywhere. You know, I've thought of that. That dear old man, he was carrying a stick all the time. He took it with him. It meant something to him. Samuel took a stone. Moses took a rod. The Israel of God took trophies from war. Saul took a sword, fell on it. Herod took John the Baptist's head. Why? Because they had nothing to acknowledge God with. Nothing. Are we acknowledging his mercies? Oh, we come to an anniversary service, friends. Oh, to acknowledge his mercy to each one of us, to our families. I think of Hezekiah, the Lord said to him, he said, take a lump of figs through his servant and lay it on the boil. You say, what's that got to do with us tonight? Every time he looked at figs, friends, he remembered the Lord's mercy. Every single time. The widow, she ran out of everything. The creditor was coming. She had nothing but a few empty saucepans, a few empty pans. What can God do? Ah, friends, what can God do in your life and mine? What can he do with me? What can he do with you? Well, first he empties you, doesn't he? She had empty pans, and make sure they're all empty, he said. Samuel took a stone. She took pans. She took a few saucepans. What were they to her? Everything. Everything. The Lord filled them up with that endless ocean. It only stopped because she ran out of pans, friends. Doesn't mean to say that it stopped because it ran out. It ran out because she didn't have enough. What I'm coming to is this, friends. When she looked at an empty saucepan, she acknowledged God. Every time, until she died, she saw an empty saucepan, she acknowledged God, his mercy. And there's so many like it, isn't there, all the way through scriptures, where they took something and they remembered. Under divine instruction, they were to take something and remember. Well, Samuel took a stone. This was Samuel's remembrance. He had something to record, didn't he? You know, when I believe when he took this stone and he raised it up, it wasn't just for Israel. No. It was for himself. He was raising up that stone for himself. He had those personal things to record, didn't he? He had those personal things to remember God for in his life. And you and I, have you raised up a stone? Have you taken that stone and raised it to the glory of God? Oh, dear Samuel, as he took hold of this stone and he raised it up in the, let my mouth be filled with praise. He had something to say about his God, didn't he? He had thanksgiving, didn't he? Well, if we look back over the past year, to the last anniversary service, and these anniversary services, they come round so quickly, don't they? Year after year. The mercies, the precious mercies that God has showered upon you, friend. You, personally. Those many, many mercies strewn in your pathway. One said in the hymn writer, didn't he? He said, countless as the sand, which daily I receive, daily. Do you know, I speak like this, friends, because oh, the confession in our own hearts. We forget there's even a God. We do. You say, how can you do that? Oh, if you're carrying around a wretched heart. If you're carrying around a blind heart, friends, you'll forget there's even a God sometimes. You will. It's a blessing he don't forget you, isn't it? Isn't it lovely that he doesn't forget you and he makes you remember him? All of a sudden you remember him, don't you? Oh, don't we have some confession at the throne of grace? Don't we? Something to record. Something that the Lord has done for us. Something personal in our lives. Well, it'd be a lovely thing, wouldn't it, if tonight one soul raised up a stone, just one stone, to remember God by. Now, it might be, friends, as we don't raise up stones now, do we? Not like they used to. They used to do it as a tangible thing, didn't they? So that they could show the generations to come. But you know now, perhaps it's a line written in a diary. Your stone. Do you go back to 19-something? Do you go back to 2000-something and look at your stone sometimes? A little note in a book might be more than one line. You might have made a little mark in the Bible. Your stone that you raised. What a thought. Have you got one or two of them? Have you? Written there for your remembrance of God? What a thought, isn't it? Well, like I say, we're not tangible nowadays, are we? These did it for us, to show us that they had something. Friends, you think if you are Samuel, why are you moving that stone from that position to that position? What, is it worth it? All the effort? It's worth it. Why did he do it? To show that God deals with man. That's why he did it. He may have only been a few feet. We don't know how far it was, but he moved it and he put it between Mizpah and Shen to show that God still deals with man. To show that we should remember the Almighty. To show those personal experiences. And he put it between Mizpah and Shen. What a thought, isn't it? Friends, if we could enter into it by the Spirit that the Lord told him to do this. He didn't take it on his own back to do it. He didn't take it in his own flesh to do it, friends. It was to show that God visited. And how wonderful it is that, you know, the Lord had appeared for Samuel. He'd appeared for him. A victory had been obtained once again. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the stone means. That's why it was erected between Mizpah and Shen. It has a natural meaning that they were to remember. But they were to look beyond, friends, beyond the natural. To the dear Redeemer himself. Place there. Well, if the Lord helps, we'll try and come to that. But this stone, and he set it between Mizpah and Shen. Now, the dear Lord's people have found, and I know many of you have got more experience than I have, many places the dear people of God have found, aren't they? Where you are found between things. The Lord places his people between things. And sometimes you don't know which way to go, do you? Sometimes the Lord places you there. You've got one half looking that way and you've got one half looking that way. And you think, which way do I go, Lord? Between Mizpah and Shen. Perhaps you're between today. Perhaps the Lord's working. Perhaps he's showing you. There is only one way, friends. This between. Oh, we need him, don't we? We need him. You know, I really believe that if the Lord is working in your heart, you'll need him far more than ever you thought you would. Far more as he's working with you than ever you did at the beginning. You thought you needed him then, didn't you? But what about now? When he places you in between something, and you think, what am I to do, Lord? What am I to do? Oh, he took a stone and set it. He set it. It was there to stay. You know, our poor flesh would like to get out of a lot of things, wouldn't it? Our poor flesh would like to run away, wouldn't it? You wouldn't tell anybody, would you? You wouldn't say to somebody, well, I can't stand my lot, I want to get out. You wouldn't say that, would you? But the Lord knows your thoughts. He knows exactly how you're feeling. And sometimes you feel like that, don't you? The stone was set where Samuel put it. That stone wasn't going to move. It stayed there. And dear friends, if the Lord has put you somewhere, that's where you stay. You don't move. It wouldn't have had the same meaning, would it, if they'd moved the stone? If they'd moved it away from that between, wouldn't have had the same meaning. It meant, down through the ages, and it'll mean, friends, until time shall be no more, it will mean to remember God. Between these two places. Well, I hope we try and remember him a little bit, don't we? But you know, I've realised more and more, it's only his spirit, the remembrancer. You know, we can come in and out of chapel, we can preach, we can give out the hymns, we can do all these things and not remember God. It's solemn, isn't it? But, oh, if the Holy Spirit, the remembrancer, come into our meeting, if the Holy Spirit, the remembrancer, come into our hearts, and we remember him just for a few moments. Why, it'll feed you, friends. It's real food to the soul. It is. And it called the name of it Ebenezer. He called it something. Lovely, isn't it? That he was allowed to call this stone Ebenezer. You know, I thought of... what a privilege it was for the dear old saints of old. They were allowed to name things for us. You think of Abraham. Oh, what meaning does Abraham mean to you in his life? He goes up, doesn't he, and he calls Jehovah Jireh. What's that mean to you, friends? What's it mean to me? All those years ago, Abraham named that mount Jehovah Jireh. Are you still feeding on it today? Does it still do you good today, friends? In the mount it shall be seen. In the mount of our God it shall be seen. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be seen in the mount. Oh, to draw strength from these things. To draw strength from our God. To draw that comfort that we so each need, don't we? As the Lord works in us. You know, I can't get away from, the friends, recently the work of God in our hearts. The Spirit work. So much is just us. So much is just the flesh. And it's all got to go. All of it. So much we're building on. I'm not pointing any fingers, only at myself. So much we're building on, there's only the flesh. But the Lord knows how to get rid of it. He knows how to deliver us from it. He knows how to deal with us each personally. Oh, to remember God in these things and call the name of it Ebenezer. You know, when Jacob came to Peniel, he saw God, he came face to face with God, didn't he? And he said, my life has been spared. And the Lord allowed him to call the name of it Peniel. And then again, when the dear man, well, before this, when the dear man came to the ladder, didn't he, at the bottom of the ladder, he called it Bethel. He returned to Bethel, didn't he? What about you and me, friends? Are we returning to Peniel? Are you returning to Bethel? Have you got one or two of them? I know some of you have. And I know in spirit, friends, now and again you go back to your Bethels, don't you? You go back to your Peniels, don't you? Oh, it's wonderful that the Lord ever allowed these dear men and women to name places, didn't he? For your and my comfort in the day and age in which we live. Because, friends, if you haven't got a Bethel, if you haven't got a Penuel, if you haven't got an Ebenezer, if you haven't got a Mount Jehovah Jireh, what have you got? What have you got? You know, the Lord has allowed the human race to name their children. And I think it's so beautiful that the Lord has allowed us to do that. To name the offspring that he gives us. He called it Ebenezer. And how many have called their children by the dealings of God with them? When you look at this one, that's your stone of Ebenezer, isn't it? And when you look at that one, it's a stone of Ebenezer, isn't it? Their name means something to you. Dear old Jacob had it. He knew when he looked down through his family, friends. Oh, he looked at Joseph, didn't he? When you think about it, he meant more to him. Oh, you think of what he actually meant in the beginning to him, but at the end, what Joseph meant to him. As he looked at him, oh, the stone of Ebenezer. Benjamin, Judah, all of them, they meant something. And the child of God, still today, and oh, it is a privilege, friends, still today, naming their children by the way God deals with them. Even if it's a second name, by the way God deals with them, to show that he's worked in our lives. And we want that. We want that to look at, don't we? You can see how those dear old saints felt, can't you? When they took those tangible things with them, it reminded them of God. Every time they looked at them, it reminded them of God. Because we're so forgetful. We are poor creatures of a day. We forget what we've done this morning. But if you look at that rod of God, you remember all those mercies right down through the ages. Have you got one or two things you look at now and again? One or two things that really mean something to you? One or two things where Christ is seen? That's the difference, isn't it? Where the dear Redeemer's seen in the object. Ebenezer. Well, dear Moses, he built an altar to God, didn't he? And he called it Jehovah Nissi. For the Lord will have, from generation to generation, war against the Amalekites. He told him the enemy would never rest. But he still built the altar, friends. He still built the altar and named it, although the enemy's never going to be at rest. And Gideon, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Oh, I do hope and pray, friends, some of these things are precious to us. A bit scattered, but precious to us. You know, there's many of our chapels up and down the land that have been named. It's not just Zor. It's not just Bethel. It meant something to them when they named it. Some dear old heart walked out an experience and they said, let's call the house of God this. How beautiful it is when you drive past some of these chapels or visit them and you look at the name of it and think back generations, what that meant to someone's heart. Zor, Lot. Let me turn aside and go to a little Zor. You know, I was thinking today, is this your Ebenezer stone? Is this house of God your Ebenezer stone? When you come in, you remember the mercies of God? I do. I hope I do, friends. Is this the place where you run to when the Lord dealt with you? And every cause of truth? where you worship? Does it mean something to you? Or is it just the old chapel down the road? Or is it Zor? Let me get to Zor. They called it Ebenezer. A well in a desert. A place where God is. A place where his honour dwelleth. A place where he visits his people. A place where the glory of God is seen. Not just chapel. Not just Zor. The beauty of Christ seen, friends, in the gospel. His garments, his preciousness, his loveliness, his gentleness. Seen as all, they called it Ebenezer. What a thought, isn't it? If you've seen Jesus here, if you've seen him displayed upon the gospel pole, like the brazen serpent, they looked. And every one of them lived that looked. They didn't look in vain, friends. They looked and lived. Oh, it does make these places precious, doesn't it? Have you got one or two Ebenezer stones? Up and down the land. Even in your own home. Your bedroom, your bathroom, your kitchen. Ebenezer stone. Where you can go back in there and you can remember when the Lord delivered you, when he heard you. He heard me in the day of my calamities. He heard me when I needed him most. He answered me. It becomes a stone, doesn't it? Becomes a little place of refuge for you, doesn't it? You know, I thought I'd forget these places. But you know, when the Lord comes upon your heart, when the Lord drops a little honey into your breast, when you have a little token from heaven, it's just like all these places pop up where he delivered you, where he's seen you, where he's spoken to you, where he's been with you. And it's just like you can look at just these places in the earth, nowhere else. And you remember so clearly where the Lord came to you. It's a wonderful thing. The hymn writer says, may thy visits longer last, or may they more frequent be, to see these things. And dear old Samuel, he knew it. He called it Ebenezer. Saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, it's an old word. Walked it out though, haven't we? That's the difference. Hitherto, right up till now, right up to this moment, has he failed you, friends? Has he ever failed one of his people? No. Will he? The devil tells me he will. The devil roars into our hearts, he's going to fail you. He won't. Never. Never will he fail one of his people. Right up until your last breath, friend, he'll never fail you. Right up until you step onto that glorious shore, he'll never fail you. Never. Because he's true to his word. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lovely word, isn't it? Helped you and I. Helped our offspring. You know, it's a lovely thing, isn't it, when you've got children and grandchildren and you see the Lord helping them. You think they didn't need my help. He started to instruct them himself. He started to take care of them. He started to make them pray. He's looking after them. Helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. There were those in the gospel that cried for help, weren't they? The dear man, he helped my unbelief. You know, I was thinking earlier about that dear man. He said, help my unbelief. But we lead up to that. You go and visit him afterwards. He helped me. He helped me. There's a difference. There's a difference, friends. You can cry for help. The world cry for help. The world. One of my brother-in-laws was in the army on the front line in Iraq, and he said there wasn't a soldier that didn't go to bed with his Bible. They were all given a Bible, and every soldier went to bed with it, terrified of the incoming missiles and the bombs. How many times they cried for help? Didn't mean it. Didn't mean it, friends. Just to be brought through another night, and then they go on their way in sin. And then come to the next night, they're crying for help again. Until the next day, and then they go off in sin again. That's not for crying for help, is it? Helped us. Helped us. A real cry for help is heard on high. It's heard, friends, on high. And deliverance is sent straight away. You might not get it straight away. Believe me, friends, it might take years to come to you. But it's on its way, because he's heard you. He's actually heard you. Helped us. And that dear man, he could say, yes, the Lord helped me. Can you put that? I like that when I find those words that the Lord gives, where it's got ED on the end. Because it's almost like the Lord has signed it and said, yes, I did that. Yes, I put that ED on the end of it. Helped. Can you look back to those Ebenezer stones of help and say, the Lord helped me there. I never thought I was coming through. I thought everything was finished. I cried for help. But the day came, didn't it, friend, when you could put ED on the back of it. Helped. Helped us. And I believe the people of God prove it over and over again. That dear woman that came, didn't she? We know it very well, friends. Crying, Lord, help me. Oh, how she cried it. She meant it. Did she go away disappointed? Tell me. Have you ever gone away disappointed from Jesus? You say, well, sometimes he doesn't answer me. Sometimes I don't get what I want. That's the trouble. That's the trouble, friends. You don't get what you want. But he gives you what you need, doesn't he? He gives you those things that you actually stand in need of for that moment, doesn't he? And isn't it lovely when you look back and you think the Lord was in it? The Lord was actually in it. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, many of you have got different experiences, haven't you? And it's a lovely thing that the Lord can meet every experience, every single experience, with his help. I would just say this, that we tend to look for help in self, don't we? You know, we always leave the Lord till last. Always leave him till last. And then we're always looking to self first, aren't we? If I could just help myself. If I could just do this for myself. And the hymn writer said it. You know, next time we feel like that, we should find that hymn, shouldn't we? And read it straight away. No help in self I find. Yet I've sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. And this is what you and I... Oh, we leave Jesus till last. You know, I feel so sad sometimes, don't you? So ashamed of ourselves that we leave him out. We leave him out of our lives. We leave him out of everything. Until we run out of help. Until we run out of strength. Until we run out of prayer. Until we run out of our desires. Then what? We fall into his arms, don't we? We fall right into those blessed everlasting arms. And the lovely thing is, friends, he never takes them away. He's there to help. And we don't know, do we, when help is needed. But hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and he's continually helping his people. and he will help them. There's so many helps that we need, aren't there? You know, the dear apostle said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, helpers in Christ. You know, I looked at that word recently and I thought to myself, the Lord uses things and people. He uses to help his elect. He uses them. Helpers in Christ. But I would just look at this for a few moments, the dear Lord Jesus. So much more can be said about a stone, isn't there? Set between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And that precious cross that the Lord set between heaven and earth. Have you been there? You been there, friends? You say you shouldn't ask us questions like that. It's a beautiful place, set between heaven and earth, set between heaven and earth, placed by God himself, for all to remember. No wonder the dying thief cried, remember me. On that very spot, remember me. And as we are at this anniversary service, oh, we do pray that the Lord would lead us back to that precious place where he set his own son between heaven and earth for sinners, for the poor, for the wretched, for the hell deserving, but loved with an everlasting love. And there he stayed. You know, I thought of those words that the dear Redeemer said. He cried for help, didn't he? And there was none to answer. None to answer. Do you know, you feel ashamed, don't you, that you read his scripture so fast. You don't stay at one word and dwell on it. He cried for help and there was none to answer. None came. No help came. Think if that was you and I. You're expecting help from the Lord, aren't you? I know you are. The Lord gives an expectation, doesn't he? He gives that in the heart that you expect him to come and help you if you cry. It's a wonderful work, the Spirit, isn't it? The Spirit's work in the heart. Because when we cry, we expect him to come. But there, the dear Redeemer was crying and he never came. The Son of God cried for help. Nobody came to help him. Your hand wasn't there, friend, and mine wasn't. He was alone. Because there could be no help given to him. Because he was suffering and enduring that which you and I should eternally endure without help. He couldn't have any help. No help could get to him. And yet, he's the helper of the helpless. The helper of the helpless. What a thought, isn't it? To think that he came so low. He came into a position. You know, at times we come to those places, don't we, where we feel absolutely helpless in whatever situation we're in. We think we can't do anything but cry. And then the Lord comes and he puts it right for you, doesn't he? And doesn't he do it so lovely? He puts it right for you. Now I know it's not all the time and I know many of you are still crying for help. And I know it's a continuing, ongoing thing, isn't it? But you know the Lord will come. You know he will appear, friends. He's promised to appear for his people. But when we consider him, in what he suffered, lonely, desperate, If you read some of the Psalms, which I know you do, but you hear the cries of Jesus. In those words of the Psalms, you can hear him crying out. He only cried for you, friends. He only cried for his people. He didn't cry for himself. He shed tears for his people. It's so humbling, isn't it? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Don't deserve it, do we? We don't deserve it, friends. As these occasions come round, it makes you realise more and more what you deserve and how little we deserve of him. And yet he provides for us daily the benefits. You know, that hymn writer said, didn't he? He said, if the benefit is ours, be all the glory thine. Oh, we need him, don't we? Well, Samuel needed him, friends, and you and I need him. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Doesn't say that, does it? Oh, it's all encompassing, friends. It's for the whole family of God. It's for every elect vessel. It's for those that are taught and need him. It's those whom the Spirit works in. It's those who have a place above. It's those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's those who he's gone to prepare a place for. Us. They without us. You know, I remember our dear old pastor, Mr. Tyler, preaching from that. I was only young. Oh, that went into my heart. They without us shall not be made perfect. Yes, they're gathering round the throne now. Yes, they're enjoying the glory. But they're not made perfect without us. Isn't that lovely? Us. Are you and I being prepared? It's a prepared place. For a prepared people, they will be prepared before they enter. Us. Oh, may we each truly be gathered by this precious word, us. And the Lord will do it, because he says, doesn't he, bone of my bone. Oh. How close, what a relationship, what communion. But it's knowing it, isn't it? It's walking it out, it's having the experience of it, and it's having the understanding and the knowledge given to us of these precious words. We've known them, haven't we, for many years. But if you and I are embraced by that precious word, us, you'll be found on high with the King of Glory. If we're not found in this word us, we won't be. Doesn't it put us in exercise? Shouldn't it put us in exercise? To go out after him more. To be found in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness. Oh, I've got plenty of that, you say. Pride. Filth. Oh, the righteousness in us. Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of Christ. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.